Well, we can look at this parable as being Jesus speaking of the Jews, how they refused to accept Jesus, how they refused to become part of His church, how they refused the prophets that had been sent before Jesus, and how they refused their message and continued in their own way. And certainly we know the history, and we know that Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and the people who ran the church of His day, the synagogues, the temples, and saying to them, "You have lost your way. You have missed the point. You haven't come to celebrate this union of God's Son with His church, with His people. You are invited. You're wanted. I offer my salvation to you, and you turn away. God offers His love to us, but sometimes we turn away. God offers His love to all, but many have turned away. Some of us here know what it is to wander in the wilderness of sin and find the way home and to see the error of our ways and to feel the joy of coming home and know what it's like to come back and have a parent or a preacher say, 'We are so glad to see you back in the church. We are so glad to have you back here in the family. We are so honored to have you home.'" The story of the prodigal son who goes and spends his inheritance on worldly things. And when he's reduced to poverty and feeding the pigs and eating their food because he has nothing of his own to eat, he goes back to be a servant to his father's family, willing to work in the father's farm because he knows his father's workers are living better than he is. And yet the father doesn't just give him a job. The father doesn't just allow him to come back and grumble and beg. He honors him. He welcomes him. He puts rings on his fingers and robes around his shoulders and brings him home and has a huge feast. And of course, the son who was there all the time is jealous. "You don't ever have a feast for me," he says. But the Father says, "You are with me always." We in the church often do the same thing. When we see someone coming to church who hasn't been there for a long time and perhaps they don't have the clothes to wear or the money to put in the plate or the familiarity with our traditions to follow along, we look down our nose at them and think, "What are they doing here? They don't belong." But where else would they go to find the love of God? One of the things that I love about this church, about being part of your church family here, is the wonderful reception that I got when I came, of the wonderful reception that I have seen you give to those who are struggling that I have brought. Shirley and I have joked about the fact that we sometimes have literally brought people in off the street. And you welcome them. You enjoy them. You share with them the peace and the love and the joy that we have in this church, in this tradition, in this history of Jesus Christ. I had to laugh as I was watching the pictures and some of the hairstyles and some of the outfits. And I remembered the leisure suits of my... Some of you probably found it odd when I came to preach and did not wear a suit and tie. Wore flowered Hawaiian shirts. But to me, this is celebration. I want to celebrate my relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to celebrate being part of Jesus' family. Now, my granddad, who worked for the government all his life and wore a uniform or wore what we would now call camo or BDUs or, you know, was out in the woods chasing the bad guys, he loved getting dressed up. He loved wearing his suit and tie. He loved socializing. He loved his church. And that for him was a joy. But I, growing up in the 60s and 70s, looked around at the people who got all dressed up for church and saw them out in the world not being very Christian, and I was struck by the hypocrisy that I saw in the church. It took me a lot of years before I could understand that hypocrisy is human. We all get to be hypocrites sometimes. We say one thing and do another. Golly, I'm human. How about y'all? Anybody here who's not ever done that? We've all made mistakes. We've all thought to say something that should be done, but in reality, we didn't want to do it. That's why we need God. That's why we need church. That's why we need a family that can help us be better than we would be alone. And so I came back to the church. I found my way back to my Heavenly Father's love. I found my way back to the family and back to the forgiveness after looking over the edge of the pit and knowing that my next step would lead me to the bottom of that pit if I continued the life I was living at the time. I came back and I tried wearing coats and ties and it just felt uncomfortable. I'm sorry. And so I put on my Hawaiian shirt to celebrate the wonder that I have of the forgiveness that I've received. I want a party! But not party like I used to. Not party in the worldly sense, but party in the sense of celebrating God's love and God's forgiveness for me. I always struggled with this scripture when I was a kid. Why did the king throw the poor man out just because he didn't have a wedding robe? Maybe he couldn't afford one. Maybe he didn't know he was going to a wedding. Maybe he was driving by and they just snatched him right off the... You know, that didn't seem fair. Jesus is not talking about what the man was wearing on his shoulders, but what we are wearing in our hearts. He cares about the attitude with which we come to Him. If we're just here and getting dressed up so other people can see us, then we get our reward by having other people see us. If we're here to celebrate our love for Him and His gift to us, then He recognizes us as being appropriately dressed no matter what we have on. How do you dress your heart? How do you approach God? How do you feel when you think about being part of this family, being part of His family? I know in my parents' generation, it seemed to me as though people were just coming to get their ticket punched so they could get to heaven. They didn't seem to care how they lived on this world. I came back to the church knowing that the forgiveness I had been given, the opportunity I had been given for a new life, a life of sobriety, a life of Christianity, a life of being part of a community, was such a wondrous gift that I was more than willing to be a slave, a servant to Him who had saved me, even if I never got to heaven. That He had given me such a better life in this world, I had already received a gift beyond anything I deserved. And yet, He told me that gift was eternal, that I would be His child forever, that I would be forgiven all my sins. You mean all that stuff I did? All of it? You got to be kidding me. No, we're not kidding here. A better life in this world because God is present in my life. A life without God is not a good life, no matter how much stuff you have. A life with God is a better life, no matter how little stuff you have. And when we have a relationship with God, it's amazing what happens to our relationships, whether they're to the person that we love sitting next to us, or the children who come after us, or the parents who came before us, or the generations that have gone before us, or the generations that will come after we are gone. It is, after all, about our relationship with Christ, our relationship with God, and our reflecting those relationships in our relationships with each other. Oh, yeah, we'll get it wrong. Oh, yeah, we'll mess up. Oh, yeah, we'll sin. Oh, yeah, we'll fall short of the glory of God, and we'll do it more than once. but we have Him in our lives. We have Him as the perfect Heavenly Father who loves us and loved us no matter what we did or where we went or how we messed up, and has been just waiting for us to come back to celebrate that marriage of Christ and His church by becoming one with the kingdom, one in glory, one in forgiveness. And so to me, the meal that we're about to have in this fellowship hall, the joyful fellowship of the church family, is probably a better example than just the Last Supper that we celebrate with just a little piece of bread and a little cup of wine. Because it is a joyous celebration of the church, of the family, of the getting together, of the coming together, of the being one. But all of those things are part of who we are. We celebrate the traditions and we celebrate the future. We get dressed up in suits and ties and we wear Hawaiian shirts. We go out into the world and we all, however we're dressed, whatever we do, try and be an example of that divine love that makes all the difference in whether we are just struggling in the world or whether we are victorious in His love. Amen.